the stories about Jesus were committed to memory, or some of them were written down. There's a document that scholars refer to as the Q document, and that's another document that they had. And of course, you may say, well, how do they remember? Well, I mean, if you think back to Ireland, even in the last century, the beginning of the last century, people were passing down stories about Jesus, or about stories about Ireland, the legends of Ireland and the folk tales of Ireland, and they remember them very accurately. A bit like children remember stories. If you tell a story to a child and then repeat the story a week later, but change some of it, the child will be very quick to tell you you've got it wrong. This is the way it was. And in the same way, folk memories were very strong in those days, so that they could remember pretty accurately. Mm. Now, of course, some of the statements in the Gospels then were interpreted for people, because what happened was that Jesus was an Aramaic-speaking Jew from a very small village. But his Gospel, the Gospel had to be preached to people who were Greek speakers and are largely written in Greek. And therefore, they had to translate them, if you like, into the language that people could understand. Mm-hmm. And that's why the stories vary slightly from one gospel to another.
Yeah. And of course, we do have four different versions. So how did that come about? Were they just four people who were listening at different times and had their own versions of what they heard and saw?
By and large, the gospel writers were not contemporaries of Jesus. They came afterwards. They were members of communities, individual communities based in various parts of the Middle East. Might be in Turkey or in Syria, or they might be in Rome, for example. And they were members of that community, and they were writing specifically for that community. So they weren't people who sort of went around with pencil and paper and wrote everything down, because they weren't there. They weren't alive, most of them. The names that are attributed to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were probably added in the second century. In the same way as, for example, we talk about the Psalms as if they were all written by King David. But of course, they weren't. Or if all the books, called the books of Moses in the Old Testament, as if Moses was dictating all these books as he went along, traveling through from Egypt into the desert. Of course, he wasn't. So they were members, individual members of communities, who were writing for that community and trying to explain to that community who Jesus was.
Now, that was all a very long time ago. And yet we have the Gospels every Sunday. Is there still a message in the Gospels for us today?
I think there are a lot of messages in the Gospels for us today if we take them seriously and read them seriously. For example, there's the whole question of faith. Do I believe or do I not believe? That's a question that a lot of people have. If I believe, what are the consequences of my belief? Do I believe that, for example, Jesus has a very strong stress on the importance of people we would regard, or who tend to be regarded with disrespect, people who are poor, people who are outsiders of our society, people who are gay, people who are different in any way. They are very often treated badly by us. And the Gospel tells us that that's not the way that we ought to treat people. Jesus, if you like, has a sort of an upside-down view of life. He would say, in opposition to his society, the people who are important in God's eyes are the people who are poor, who are sick, who are outcasts of one sort or another. Why does he say that? He says that because they are like a child in a family who's ill, who's got some serious who's disabled seriously. And God, I feel the mother in that family or the parents in that family will give special attention to that child precisely because of it, without loving the others less. In the same way, Jesus says we must pay attention to the people who are outcasts in our society, whatever way that is, simply because they're outcasts, and God loves them just as much as he loves everybody else.
So how should we hear and listen to the Gospels on a Sunday?
I think one of the difficulties about listening to the Gospel on Sunday is that very often, if the priest, for example, whose job is to interpret the Scriptures, to tell us what the Scripture is about, in language that you and I can understand, if he doesn't, I mean, if he tells you what's on the Late Late Show or what's other things, then he's, in a sense, he's failing. One of the primary jobs of a priest is to make the Scriptures understandable to people. Another way, I think, is to read the scriptures and to try and read them in a way that you can understand, to try and get some book or books that will help you to explain the scriptures in easily understandable language. Because I think it's no point in understanding the Gospels from a historic point of view. It's always important to say, well, what are they saying to life as it's lived now, to my life, the life of my children, to the life of my people in my community?